Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 117 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today we're going to be talking about men and the men in your life and how to treat them and share something from their point of view, I guess. So this started from, we found this tweet a little while back. We've been meaning to this episode for a couple of weeks, but we wanted to give it some thought and time. So we found this tweet that said, basically millions of American men can't remember the last time they got a hug. Most remember every compliment they've ever received because they live on one per year. And then there were a lot of responses to this from men kind of validating this, saying that, or also from women actually, the replies from women were really interesting, like they felt like men wouldn't want compliments, like it's effeminate, how they read this tweet and then gave their husband some affection, and you know they got a very positive unexpected response. So we just thought this would be a really important topic. A lot of the people listening to our podcast are women, so maybe this will be a little window into the lives of men that can come in helpful for your relationship.
Yeah, I think the emotional needs of men have really been overlooked, and I think men can come across as a bit like repressed emotionally. Is that the right word? Like, you know, men don't really tend to say a ton about what they're feeling always or what they're going through, or maybe don't have the tools to express it properly. Because, you know, I think it's starting to change now, but, you know, over time it's always been, you know, boys don't cry, stiff upper lip, carry on kind of stuff. So no one really maybe stops to think too much about what's going on in a man's mind from an emotional perspective.
Yeah, and there's a perception, and more so nowadays, you know, we hear terms like toxic masculinity and all this and that, but there's this perception that it's easy being a man, that we're shallow, we only want one thing, we're only interested in sex, we're not emotionally invested in things, we don't want, as that tweet said, that they didn't think their husband would want compliments or affection because it's effeminate or whatever. And a lot of this is misunderstanding, and in the same way that men don't necessarily understand women because you kind of have your own code of conduct, if you like, the same is true for men. And I think what looks from the outside to be everything I just said, actually, that sort of masculinity and maybe fraternity, it manifests in a different way, you know. But yeah, men, of course, still need affection and compliments and praise. And I think men probably thrive on that, you know, the doing things for other people, making other people feel proud of them, you know, like that stuff's important to men, and I think it's overlooked, and especially nowadays with all these very negative patronizing terms like toxic masculinity, where men kind of nowadays are in this weird culture space of who are we, what are we supposed to be, you know, it's become a running joke for women, the running joke that women don't need men, and we are weights around their ankles kind of thing, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
it's a very negative space for men at the moment. And if you step back from it, we should have got the statistics on this, but you know, we see this all the time, that the suicide rates among men are shocking. There's also, you know, we have like the health campaigns here about how men won't go to the doctor because we're too stubborn and stuff, and like, you know, so it's weird, you know. I don't want to speak for every guy, but I imagine some of that's fear that just manifests itself as stubbornness or whatever. But you know, the fact that men are committing suicide and things, and there's high rates of depression, and for sure some of it's talking about it, for sure all that's really important, but it's also, you know, it's also important about how people treat other people.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're kind of feeling that way, you're feeling a bit isolated, and then you start hearing from everyone else that masculinity is toxic and no one needs you and you're generally bad, and then you're not getting any affection or compliments or praise or anything because men don't need that, then it's all of a sudden you can find yourself in a very dark place. And it's not that everyone in your life has intentionally put you there, you know, for the wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. It's not that they're intentionally put in there. Like, the responses to this tweet were more like, oh, I had no idea that that was important to him, rather than it being an intentional, malicious thing. So we're just trying to bring some
conversation,
awareness, light onto it.
I was just looking up some stats when you mentioned we should have done. So the Samaritans, which is it's more of a suicide kind of crisis mental health support organization. So in the UK, there's rising suicide rates in middle-aged men. Men aged 45 to 49 still have the highest rate of suicides. And then the highest rate of suicide was recorded in 21.4 deaths per 100,000 population in 1988. Male suicides have consistently accounted for approximately 3/4 of all suicides in the UK since the mid-90s. So, gosh, 6,507 people died by suicide in 2018, significantly more than in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all kinds of factors coming into play here. We have everything you've just mentioned. It's a very unsettled time right now. You know, we have a lot of important change taking place through things like the Me Too movement. There's also, in the UK, a couple months ago, we had the death of Sarah Everard, which was understandably became, you know, a very important point to discuss, you know, why things like this are happening.
Why don't you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I don't know if that would be international news.
Did we not talk about it recently in an episode? I can't remember.
I don't think we did, but
sorry if we did. But yeah, if people are outside of the UK and haven't heard about it, Sarah Everard was a early 30s girl living in London, went for a walk with her friend because we're only allowed to do social distance visits. And even then you couldn't even hang out in people's gardens. So she went for a walk with a friend. I think it was 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. And she left her friend to go meet her boyfriend. She talked to her boyfriend on the phone while she was walking to meet him. And she never turned up. And about a week later, her body was found about 50 miles away from where she went missing. Not far from where we live. About half an hour from where we live, her body was found. It hasn't been proven, because this is all very recent, but the main suspect who's been arrested is a police officer. An officer in the London Metropolitan Police.
A male officer.
So there's been, again, I think it's going to trial, so we don't really know. It's been kind of quiet, I think, in terms of evidence and stuff, like what there is, but
if I can just take this on a slight tangent, because this is another point here. Like, when after her death, and like I said, the investigation's still going on, but, you know, in the context of what it's like to be a man these days and the messaging we hear and who we're supposed to be, there was a, I think she was elected, you know, there's an MP, a member of our, she's not in government, but she's a member of a political party, stood up and as a genuine recommendation said all men should have a curfew of 6 o'clock because it's the only way we're going to make women feel safe. So, like, as a man listening to that, you just think, like, I don't think the same could have ever been said the other way around. Like, we couldn't have said, a woman did this, we need to make all women stay indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wouldn't fly. And yet, we've kind of reached this point where that's okay to say about men. Like, men are a threat. Men are dangerous. Don't trust the men in your lives. It's like, we need to move away from that. That's not helpful. If we've already got men killing themselves and men suffering and men, you know, feeling lonely and isolated and they're not getting the compliments and everything they get from the people who love them and the closest in their lives, to then hear elected officials say you shouldn't even be allowed out after 6 o'clock because you're dangerous, and then that's sowing further mistrust and things. Like, it's not just unhelpful, like, it's incredibly dangerous narrative. And it's just, if we zoom out and just think, what's that doing as a narrative?
It's not addressing the issue. And there is an issue. And, you know, as a woman, I can say that if I'm on a street alone and there's a man alone, my mind does start to think, okay, cross the other side of the street. You know, what should I do if, you know, kind of thing. So it is a problem. You know, we have been trained to think about how to protect ourselves. Neither of us know what the answer is. But further making men's the villain, and yeah, I don't know. It's really hard, and you know, not to be all, you know, not all men, but also not all men. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's a really complex situation. But
well, the thing that gets me about that, because, you know, we live in such a time of binary now. We can't no one's allowed to have a middle ground opinion, but you know, yeah. That's where I tend to reside. But so you can feel one thing while also sympathizing for the other thing. Yeah. So you know where I'm going with this is, I have every understanding and sympathy that, you know, when you say what you just said, there's a woman and you're on your own, you see a guy, you're trained and you worry and you think, okay, how do I get out of this? The point I liked that, I know we've spoken about this before, but the point that I think is important to make other beyond that is there seems to be this void of understanding that men also are victims, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, we are, and this isn't to say, worries me. Like,
and it's not to devalue what women go through.
Not at all. But it's to say, look, women are victims here, and men are victims here. So, men, as a category, that's not the problem. Like, it's
bad. I feel like your gestures are very important to what you're trying to say. But he's gesticulating a lot.
But the point is, you know, so I think there's this. From my understanding of, you know, the things I read, the things I hear, the narrative I'm hearing, it seems to be this impression being created that, look, women get attacked by men and sexually assaulted by men, and it's very dangerous to be a woman, and no one else can understand that. And then from my position, it's like, well, I do understand that, and I think it's also important to understand that men are getting, men are victims too. You know, different, we're less likely to get raped and sexually assaulted and stuff, totally understand that, but we're more likely to get stabbed and jumped and beaten. And, you know, I personally know people who've been hospitalised.
Is that actually a stat, that you're more likely to be jumped and beaten?
I'm not saying, I assume so, but I'm not, okay, forget that we're more likely, I think so. I think the type of crime is different, but the point is, men do not wander around the streets all day and night without a care in the world, risk-free. We see other men and go, hey, you know, isn't it nice to be completely safe? It doesn't happen. We are also, we have to be alert. You know, I've crossed the street because I've seen guys coming towards me. I think this could, it's just good practice. It's self-awareness. So this could potentially become a situation. I've found myself in situations that I was fortunate to get out unscathed. It could have gone other ways. I know people who've been hospitalised from assault. It's a problem. The problem isn't that men are evil villains who are just out to attack and rape women. And I just think that's an important part of the conversation. I'm not saying I've got a solution to that. I'm just saying we're never going to get beyond this, any of this, until we can actually say, what are men going through too? What's really happening?
What's everyone going through?
Because I don't think it has to be, women have this, men don't matter, and it shouldn't be men have this, women don't matter. It should be, how do we get a nice society? How do we get a safe society? That's the conversation.
Yeah, the greater goal. It needs to be everyone. And, yeah, I mean, you have friends that have been jumped and attacked and beaten brutally for no reason.
That also a woman. Like, I had a girl I know when we were younger, we were school age. She was attacked by a small group of girls. So, you know, again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not diminishing anything. It's just, I never hear that part mentioned, that men also get attacked. That's just important.
Yeah, and I mean, like, our house is a couple streets over from a main busy road, and there's a gas station on the street, and there was a man walking there, and I think some guys were buying, like, liquor in the...
I don't know, the dude. You mean the guy that got stabbed?
Yeah, he got attacked. He was chased down the road, he was stabbed, there was an altercation... you know, stuff like that. So
the response to this, I know people are going to be thinking this, like, men are doing this too, right? It's not women stabbing men and stuff, like, I get that. So those men are the problem. I suppose the question I have is, like, is it the same men who are doing what they're doing to women? Is it the same people doing it to men?
Is it just that violent people do violent people? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's also the, on the female side, I mean, again, and I don't know statistics specifically, but you do often hear it said that when a woman is attacked or raped, you know, it's usually someone who knows her. Or not usually, but, like, the statistics are...
Yeah, it's quite likely.
Yeah,
it's... But also, like, with women, it's just... maybe there's types. Like, maybe men are more aggressive in our actions. Like, our assaults are more aggressive. Whereas, you know, the things women can do can be more manipulative, but equally devastating. You know, men have their lives ruined by women, or...
Women have their lives ruined by women.
And you also... Yeah, and then you also do hear about men who... are victims of physical domestic abuse, but maybe there's shame or
control
where they won't speak up about it. So it does happen. And I know, you know, most most sensible people are aware of all this, but it's more like, I'm just making the point that we live in this time where it feels like you have to take a side.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's ever going to solve anything.
And we're very much not like that. I am on all kinds of sides. Like, it's not that black and white, and it shouldn't be. And that's what's scary. There's this polarity in the world right now, as if, you know, this guy did something awful, and I can agree with that, but I can also question, okay, yes, you know, I don't know what happened to innocent until proven guilty, like certain things that are happening and people being canceled. Like, okay, well, should we not wait and see what actually is happening here? And absolutely, if he did do it, then fuck him. Like, that's awful. But I mean, it sounds really trivial what I'm saying, but the example I'm thinking of is like, for example, I think it was like Kevin Spacey. You know, it came out that he is a homosexual. And right before that came out because it was announced that someone was, like, a young man was coming forward that he had been sexually assaulted by him. And he was canceled. He was fired from shows. Things were pulled, I think, from Netflix and stuff like that. So I'm not saying he didn't do it. And I'm not saying that
he didn't have the trial.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. And I mean, I know you can't control that. I mean, if someone's accused of something, even if they're completely innocent, you know, they're ruined. You know, even if they're not a celebrity, if you're in a community and you're accused of a heinous crime and you're innocent, you're ruined, you know, yeah. Like your reputation is damned. Yeah. So it's not that I know the answer to that, but what I think we're both trying to get to here, maybe in a very messy way, we're very conscious that we're trying to be careful about what we're saying because we don't want it to sound like we're trivializing what women are going through by talking also about what men go through. But I think the question is, are we failing men as a society, their emotional needs, their psychological needs, in such a way that they are doing these things?
Yeah, and, you know, to add to that, like, you have strong men in your life, like positive male influences, role models, whatever, in your life, as do I. One of the peculiarities nowadays is, but I'm not saying anything that women currently have all the progression, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, like, I'm all in favour of that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the peculiarities of today is women can kind of get whatever they want, like, not individuals, but I mean, as women, it's like, you know, you can have your women's only gyms and all that kind of stuff. Men, we've kind of got to this point where men-only spaces are bad, not allowed them. Like, I think I might say even the Boy Scouts now have to let girls in.
Okay.
Fucking Girl Scouts don't have to let boys in. They can still be Girl Scouts. Boy Scouts can't. I don't know if there's this idea that they're, like, evil bunkers where men are, like, you know, making plans of how many women can be raped in the most efficient use of time. Like, oh, I don't understand. But it's not what happens. But, like, men need other men. Like, it's very important that men have the company of other men. And, like, I remember some years ago, I started going to this barber shop that was, it was just for men. And they said, there's no need for women to come in here. We can't cut women's hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's a men-only space. It's an old tradition that, you know, men would go to the barbers. And to your point before, that we can be quite reluctant to talk. Like, historically, the barber was kind of like your mental health guy, too.
Well, that's,
like,
what women have with their hairdresser, too.
Right, so when this shop opened, when they opened, people got really angry. Like, women got really angry about it, and they said, like, the actions that happened.
They were putting tampons.
They were putting used tampons through the letterbox and all this kind of stuff, and you just think, like, it's totally unnecessary. And I think it's not. I think discrimination's a broad term. I don't see that as discriminating women. This is a very positive place for men, where the dynamic would be different if women were in there too, just because men behave differently when women are around, I guess. But, you know, it's important that women have their spaces, and it's equally important that men have their spaces. And
the thing about that, though, was it, and I can understand why people took notice of it. I mean, I wouldn't be putting a tampon through anything no matter what, but it wasn't just that they didn't have services for women. It was that women couldn't wait in there while their husbands were having their hair cut, like in a chair. Like, if we used to go there, and it was up in London, so it was, we would make it part of a day out. We'd go up to London, maybe we'd get some lunch, go to a museum or see a show, and Rich would get his hair cut. So I had to walk around the market, which was fine. It's a nice market. There were coffee shops. There's plenty for me to do and look at to keep busy. But if at some point I thought to you, I just want to come and sit down, I was not the only reason women were allowed to go into that shop was to buy gift certificates for men to use the shop services. So I can understand why that met with some...
I guess a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah.
But the point is, the response to it was disproportionate. And where, what male-only spaces do we have now? And I don't agree with, you know, how it used to be where women weren't allowed, like...
Locker rooms.
Not the locker room, yeah.
No, it's the only place they have.
Yeah, but, you know, it used to be we had, like, men's clubs, like, working men's clubs, and women were banned. Even, like snooker halls. There are still some snooker halls that women aren't allowed in, and it's changing.
Snooker very briefly. You have 2 seconds.
Snooker is a wonderful tabletop game.
Use your 2 seconds. It's gigantic pool.
It's not gigantic pool. Not gigantic pool.
It's a table. It's a billi- It's more part of the billiards family.
Yeah. Anyway, so it. But yeah. So there's been discrimination, genuine discrimination against women, because there's no need for the snooker hall to be a male only space. But we've taken it to the point where it's like, well, no, you can't have anywhere. And what I'm trying to say is that it's very important that men have spaces to be with other men, because men can't teach women how to be women, and women can't teach men how to be men. You know, we need to be around, I don't want to say like our own people, but to an element of that, you know, especially when we do live in such mixed communities now, which again, I'm all for. I've worked in offices that were probably more female than male, and that was fine, you know, but when there's no option for men, and then everything you hear about being a man is negative and worrying and a threat, and we're just generally negative. You know, if you turn around and look at your boyfriend or your dad or your brother or your husband, anything, like, you're not like that, hopefully. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, you said a few minutes ago that I have been surrounded by positive male influences, and I'm not unaware of the fact that that is not the case for very, very, very many people. You know, my dad has been... I can't even think to say a word against my dad. My dad's wonderful. My brother is my best friend. You know, I have, you know, you as a husband who I couldn't have chosen better. I have my brother-in-law who has been a part of my life since I was very young, and he's wonderful. And I work with smart, intelligent, funny, caring men at my office, and I have the opposite. I'm in a team of like 10 people. There's me and one other girl. The rest are men. But, you know, it's they're, I don't know, maybe it's because it's a creative company I work for. They're all wonderful. Like, you know, I'm very fortunate, and probably it's rare that I haven't been around real toxic masculinity or any men who have put fear in me or men who've made me feel unsafe. You know, I've had some jerky boyfriends who didn't treat me well, but it was never that my well-being was in jeopardy. You know, so I'm conscious that the people listening to this may not have that experience and be saying, well, no, like, that's not my experience. And that's 100% valid.
Of course, that there are some real asshole men.
Men. Like, yeah, absolutely. Awful things happening. And it is scary to be a woman. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot, even, like, with running. Like, before, probably even before, I don't mean, I can't remember, was it 2019, I think, the Me Too movement started? So even before that, you know, like, obviously it's... Women are aware of this, and we were talking about running, and I said talking about not wanting to go when it's dark in the morning and not wanting to go when it's dark in the evening. And in the winter here, that can be a challenge because the sun doesn't come up until 8. I start work at 8:30, and then it goes down at 4, and I don't finish work till 5. So unless I go out on my lunch break, when am I going to run? You know, so it's, we talk about that, and I have made comments to you before, like, oh, you're lucky, you don't have to worry about this. Like, you can just, and he's like, well, you said, well, I do have to worry about my safety. Like, yeah. It's not a given that I'm going to be safe. So I guess it's you saying, like, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what that fear is, but I do know what it's like to feel a bit unsafe. And
yeah, you know,
I guess the difference is you might have a fight, depending if it's one-on-one, you might have a fighting chance to defend yourself, whereas most women don't.
So you look at, like, America, like, you know, your family in America, the people that own guns, who are they?
Men and women.
Why?
Because everyone loves guns in America.
But they want to defend themselves, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, yeah, of course, women carry them too, but
not everyone loves guns in America. I'm just saying, like, it's across, you know, all sorts of people like guns.
Men who carry guns and own guns to defend themselves, that's indicative that there are threats, right? It's not the case that...
I don't know if that's seamless logic.
Why?
Well, I'm not going to get into gun control, and we're not going to get into that as a topic. That's pretty irrelevant to our podcast, and also
I'm not getting into gun control.
Butterball wax, but it's. I don't think people just have guns for self-defense. People have guns for hunting. They collect them. Yes, they like them. People, they're historical.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about like just general gun collection, but the people who carry guns, especially people who conceal carry guns, do it for personal protection. You're not carrying your pistol with you to the shops in case you see an animal that you want to hunt.
No.
Okay? It's defense, and that is because there could be a threat, right? So, like you said, you know, you made the point about running, and yeah, I get that, that you have to, and I obviously want you to be safe and not have to worry and everything else. But yeah, it was the next part of your sentence, like, you haven't got to worry about that. And it's like, so that's where there's this misunderstanding now that men don't have to worry about that. It's like, of course we do. Maybe not the same specific type of violence, so I'll say that. You know, I don't worry that I'm going to get raped. But I do worry that something else will happen to me.
Yeah.
Like, I do worry that I won't come home in one piece, or I won't come home at all, or whatever. Like, that happens.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's always been a bit alarming to me then when women say something like that. Like, you don't just like to have to.
Well, you don't, but that doesn't mean you don't have your other things. Like, you.
Yes, I don't know what it's like to think to worry about that type of violence. What I'm saying is, I find it a bit alarming when people say, you don't know what it's like to have to cross the street.
It doesn't mean you're impervious to harm. Like, yeah, bad like, things can happen like, to
I've
you.
I've crossed the street.
But all this to kind of get back to that whole, are we failing men? You know, is this just a cycle that's going to continue on because of toxic masculinity, because of just a lack of awareness around, you know, you were talking earlier about, like, very early in this episode about, you know, men only want one thing, and that's kind of, machines built for sex is kind of what they are. But, you know, men have goals, men have dreams, men have hopes and insecurities and everything that women have, just in different ways about different things. Some of them cross over, some of them don't. And I think to just let men get on with it and assume that they don't wake up some days and think, I don't know if I can do this today, or I'm really stressed about this, or I don't know if I can achieve the things that I want to achieve, or I don't know if I can provide for my family, I don't know if I'm going to lose my job, I don't know if my wife is cheating on me, I don't know if my wife's fallen out of love with me, I've gained weight. Like, this stuff all happens to men, too. And so I think the fact that men just get up and don't tell us these things are happening, it would be incredibly naive and irresponsible to assume that they don't feel those things and struggle. And just in the same way women do. We get up some days, look at ourselves in the mirror, we feel fat, or we feel inadequate, or we're up against a man who's better qualified at work than we are, and we're worried we're not going to be taken seriously, we're worried about our kids, we're worried about our parents' health. Like, that is not a uniquely male or female experience, that is the human experience. And I think it's amazing that we've come so far in recognizing what women need in terms of support, making sure women are excelling in the workplace, making sure girls are getting the same education opportunities as men, and that should not stop, and that should not change. But forward progress for women doesn't mean the opposite for men, and forward progress for men does not mean that we stop giving what women need. Like, everyone needs to be supported, and everyone needs to be encouraged, and I think, I don't know how much that's happening in marriages. When I'm around family and some family and some friends, I hear a lot of teasing and I hear a lot of ribbing, and I don't hear a lot of what we talk about, championing your partner. And I think that's a problem both ways.
Yeah.
And it might not be the same as abusing someone, and in fact it's not, but it still affects people. And I know that when you sent me that tweet a few weeks ago, that one,
mm-hmm.
You said, I just read this and it's made me really, really sad. I'm so grateful for you.
Yeah, I don't have that issue with you.
No, I think it's nothing. I'm not saying I'm anything special in terms of being a partner. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I enjoy complimenting my husband every chance I get. And I've never done it for any other reason than I'm thinking it. And I want to tell him, you know, there's no plan, like, oh, he needs to hear this, and da-da-da. You know, it's just like, I observe he's done something that makes me proud, or something that I know was a challenge for him, and I compliment him on it. Or he puts a new shirt on and it looks really great and I compliment him. Or I notice hard work paying off in the gym, I compliment that. Or I thank him for things that he's pushing himself forward to make a better life for us. Like, I just naturally want to do that. And
we've done episodes on gratitude about this. And like, the point we've always said is like, even really, we thank each other every day for the most trivial things, like, or small things. Like, if you put toast on to me, I'll thank you for that. You make coffee, I thank you for that. Because at the most basic level, it's just recognition that you've just saved me a small amount of time. Or sometimes it's just, you know, there was one thing you did for me, I remember, like, it's the smallest thing, but it really meant a lot to me. It was when I came downstairs first thing in the morning, and it was the first thing you've ever done. It was when you were warming a cup for me.
You'd boil the, that a lot.
You'd boiled the kettle, and for anyone who hasn't heard this, I read something or heard that if you put hot water into a cup and let it warm up before you put your coffee or your hot drink into it, it stays hot longer. It makes all the sense to the world, mm-hmm. But I never ever would have thought about it. And I mentioned it to you just in passing one day, and sometime soon after that, I came downstairs first thing in the morning, there's a cup there, and I just felt like, it just showed you...
You felt seen.
Yeah, you'd heard what I said, you'd remembered it, and then you thought about me in that morning, and I hadn't asked you to do it. And like, yeah, I could have turned and said, yeah, I only took a minute. But it wasn't, it was the gesture that was so important. And, you know, that's what you're saying, I think, isn't it? It's like, just recognize...
But it's also it's not just the little things, the preferences that absolutely matter, but it's the... I acknowledge that you work really hard, or I acknowledge that you are taking care of your ill parents, or I acknowledge that you...
My parents aren't ill, by the way.
No, I'm just... These are just vague examples that women, you know, what husbands do that we don't necessarily maybe think about. You know, I acknowledge that you... Like, my dad worked... I want to say 100 hours a week. It's probably being a bit silly, but he worked probably... During busy seasons, he would work probably 12 to 14 hours a day. And then on the weekends, he'd be out doing the yard constantly, cleaning the pool, doing... Like, he didn't stop. And I'm sure that meant that he didn't have as much time to be, like, chatty. He's chatty and stuff, but, like, he never stopped for us, for our house, for what we needed and stuff. And I just think that men deserve... acknowledgement for that, just the same as women deserve acknowledgement for working full-time or part-time or keeping the house in order or coordinating family stuff or raising children and staying home or working and raising, you know, no matter what we're doing, as long as we're not just sitting on the sofa all day and not contributing to a joint life, we deserve recognition.
Yeah, I mean, so
from our partner,
there's this idea, right? You know, that when we're not talking about, you know, like the statements like it's a man's world and you see it to a man and most men occupy these jobs, stuff like we're not really talking about that. It's for a long time, you know, we're talking about the progression for women and stuff. That progression happened when women said, "Listen to us,"
mm-hmm.
and today women still rightly say, "Men don't know what it's like to be women. You can't comment what it's like to be women." And I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
And the point being made today is that's also true of men. You can't understand what it's like for men or to be a man without listening to men.
I think
this isn't about like necessarily the collective. You know, we started with this talking about how, you know, men don't get compliments and the ridiculous call for men to have a curfew and all this kind of stuff, but. Like, that's kind of trends that concern me, is like, because it's like, that's my group. It's like, where do I fit in here? But the substance of this episode is more on the individual level. You know, you should hear this stuff and say, you know what, I'm gonna thank my dad. Or I'm gonna tell my boyfriend or husband or whoever that I'm grateful, or that I see them, or that I love them. Or just, you know, yeah, why are men committing suicide at this rate? Why is that? What's going on there? And, you know, I don't like terms like toxic, if I could say it, masculinity, toxic. And stuff like that. But again, I'm like, let's put that to one side. It's more, we can all come with terms and names and accusations and whatever, but it's, what's the solution here? And I think a big part of that solution has to be, how do we empathize with men? How do we understand it? Because just saying, you don't know what it's like to get raped, you haven't got to worry about that, doesn't mean there's nothing that we do worry about. Doesn't mean there's nothing we aren't at risk for.
There is. It's not that there's not a struggle to break free from toxic masculinity. Like, it's, men are, can be very stuck in that. And I think, I'm going to say something that's probably unpopular, but what about men? You know, like, I, watching all of this unfold, and I'm not saying women are wrong to fear men. I fear men when I'm on my own. Like, you know, I feel that fear.
You don't fear men. Like, let's be clear. You fear what that particular individual
might do. I fear what could happen one-on-one if I came face-to-face with a man with no protection. Yeah, I don't
but
fear...
But I had it this morning. I went for a run this morning. It was early morning. Like, there's no one really around. There was a guy that you kind of just think, you look a bit dodgy. Like, I'll cross the street. Why take the risk? Like,
yeah.
So men do this too.
You know, I'm just saying, like, now you're making me lose my train of thought. You know I'm not bashing men. That's, we're on the same page.
I'll just clarify.
But you just interrupted me, and I don't know what to say. Yeah, so what about men? But I don't mean that from a, oh, well, let's not be too mean to them. Like, not all men are bad. What I mean is, why is this happening? Why are men doing these things? Why do we live in a society where women do fear men? And back to that question of, what are we doing to fail them? And what's coming out when these terrible, terrible things are happening, rightly so, is women and men saying, men, this is on you. You know, you need to teach your sons, you need to teach your brothers. And while I don't disagree with that, I do disagree in the sense that it's on all of us. Like, it can't be men versus women. It needs to be, we are a society, and we need to make sure that everyone is getting what they need. So that means, yes, men teaching your sons to be better, teaching your friends to be better. It also means women teaching your sons, teaching your brothers, teaching your husbands, that, you know, even if it's just silly comments or degrading remarks about women and they would never actually do anything to hurt someone, it's who's going to hear that in passing. What young boy at the zoo is going to hear your...
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's always... maybe this is what people mean by toxic masculinity, like, I don't know, but we were at San Diego Zoo ten years ago, and we were at the meerkat enclosure, and it was... We were there with your brother, who's, I think, similar to me in this kind of thing. You know, there's none of this sort of over-the-top bravado about stuff. And we're at the
meerkat. My brother cries more than most people I know.
That's true, yeah. We're at the meerkats, and this little boy, I think he was about three.
Four or five. I mean, he was tiny. Four or five, maybe, max.
Okay, he was up to five. And he said, they're cute.
He said, look how cute.
And his dad said... Don't say that, that's gay. And I mean, your brother just looked at him like, what the fuck? Like,
we all did.
They're fucking cute.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he wants to be with men because he thinks meerkats are cute. Like, that guy had the problem, not the son.
Oh, yeah.
And
huge, there were serious problems there.
You know, that exists. And yeah, you know, that's an issue. And maybe that's what people mean by it. And you know, yeah, maybe that's another men to... And a bit, I suppose stuff like that's contextual. You know, we don't know that guy, but he's not teaching a good... he's not being a good role model to his son, and he should be called out on that. And it's obviously made such an impression on us that 10 years later we're like, I can't believe that.
Yeah,
because now that boy is like mid-teens and he's probably a little shit.
Yeah, because he's a homophobe and he's toxic. You know, men can't say things are cute. Like, I get some things, like, I remember we were at a family...
Especially meerkats.
Yeah.
Like, if he was... they are cute.
Are there
if he was looking at something like, you know, lizards, like, I like them, but it, I can understand when someone says, that's not cute. But fucking meerkats, like, they are cute. They're objectively cute.
Like, I remember we
Maybe I'm gay?
We were talking about... Oh, I was at a family meal, family friends, you know, this is years ago, even before that, and we were... It was when suddenly you started calling things cute, like...
Me?
No, people in general.
So cute. Those shoes are so cute.
Yeah, like, we didn't, like, oh, I like those shoes, they're pretty, or I like those shoes, they're bright. Suddenly we started calling things as a society cute, which maybe previously we would have only called animals and children and stuff cute, but suddenly the outfit's really cute. Like, it just, that word evolved. And I remember we were at the table, and one of the guys, who would have been in his 20s, maybe early 30s, I'm not sure, family friend, said, like, why do we call everything cute? Like, and he wasn't being... you know, toxic masculinity or whatever. He was just talking about, like, why do we, like, I think of cute as an animal or a baby or something. Like, why are we suddenly calling a purse cute? Why are we calling whatever cute? And we kind of were talking about, like, hey, just do. And then Later, on the table, he sees, I can't remember if it was a tiny bowl of salt and pepper or like mini salt and pepper shakers or the bowl with a spoon. Anyways, there's a miniature condiment dispenser of some sort. And he picks it up and he goes, oh, that's kind of cute. I'm like, ah, you know, so it's like, I don't know why I had to say that, but it just made me laugh. But no, I think.
Be good to the men in your life.
Yeah.
Listen to them.
And I guess.
And let us have our spaces.
It's really hard because there is obviously a problem and there is a danger to women in many cases. And we're not at all trivializing that. But I don't think big problems get fixed by blame and restrictions on things. It has to be a conversation and actually assessing what's happening here. And just as men shouldn't be given a 6 o'clock curfew so they can't inflict harm, women also shouldn't be given a 6 o'clock curfew so that they're not in danger. Like, we should live, maybe it's very utopian and naive of me, but we should live in a world where men can go out after six not being suspected of causing harm, and women can go out after six without fear for their life. Like,
but I need to just say too, there's all this talk about, and you're doing it here too, like this talk about women are at risk and stuff, and it's like, well, I don't know how much risk there is. I don't know. I don't mean that flippantly, but I would imagine that if you go out, you've got you've got better than even chances of coming home safe and sound, right? But why is it never mentioned about the men that help? You know, how loads of people said, oh, you know, there was this situation and this guy saw it and he stepped in. And I'm really grateful to him because I don't know what would have happened otherwise. Like, I've read so many stories like that. And I said, well, so if you stop all these men going out after six, the only men who are going to be out are the ones who are going to cause you harm, who you've all admitted you're worried because you couldn't defend yourself against them. And now you're taking all the good men away who would step in and help you and you know, be there in that situation to protect you. Like, none of those guys are getting any mention anymore.
Yeah, and I...
And the worst thing about that Sarah Everard case, the worst thing was she died. I mean, one of the particularly bad things about it was because that was law enforcement, it's like, okay, well, it's not like you could even say, well, lock all the men away at six and we'll have the police. Like...
Yeah, I mean, that's what upset a lot of people.
It's a huge trust thing.
It's that if a man is... If I'm being pursued or chased or I'm in trouble, I'm going to go to a police officer for help, whether it's a man or a woman. But I think there's more male police officers than females, probably. So. Like, and so the chances are, if I go to a police officer for help, it's probably going to be a man. And then to think that I could still be in danger, that's really upsetting. But also what's upsetting is that, say my car breaks down or I get a flat tire and I have to pull over and say the first person to stop and help me is a man. I'm honestly going to be equally relieved and equally scared in that moment. Like, oh, thank goodness, someone's stopping to help me. Oh, gosh, I'm alone with a man.
So how justified do you think that feeling is? Like,
I don't know.
Like, how much? Because you've not, as far as I'm aware, you've not had an experience.
No,
like
I haven't.
So, you know, we're very easily influenced by what we hear. So I just wonder how much that's a case of...
I don't know is the honest answer.
You know, in the same way that...
It's a fair question.
In the same way that I get nervous on a plane, and you're like, well, yeah, look, planes crash, but it's incredibly unlikely. You've really got nothing to worry about. Like, and again, I mean, this is a genuine question, but I just wonder how much of this is because we've been told, be worried about this, rather than how proportionate is that fear to the risk? Because that policeman, who's a suspect still, as far as I'm aware, he hasn't actually been...
He's going to trial, he hasn't been convicted.
So if he did it, I mean, you should still have, like, trust and confidence in the police. I would still feel, if you're out on your own, you said, oh, you know, yeah, it got a bit weird in town, so I found the police, I wouldn't be worried that you were with the police. I still think...
Yeah, I'm just saying that it starts to raise the question, you know, women are already hyper alert to this kind of thing, and then for something like this to happen in a time where women are really battling something right now. There's Me Too, there's the glass ceiling, there's pay equality, there's a lot happening, and then to also not be able to always make it safely home from visiting a friend. It, you know, it's scary and it's upsetting. And I guess more than half of me is upset and hurt and angry and scared for, you know, what our nieces and family and friends' children, what's it going to be like for them? Is it going to be better? I want it to be better. Is it going to be worse? Or is it... And then the other part of me is, almost as equally concerned and feeling bad for all the wonderful, wonderful men I know. You know, like, what's it going to be like for them? Like, are men going to be instantly labeled as villains? Like, because it's happening because men are doing bad things, and I get that. I understand that it's not... Men are seen as bad because women say so. Like, they're doing things to warrant it. But what's going to happen? You know, I think about our nephews, you know, just as much. Like, where is this going? You know, what's going to happen? Something's going to come to a head at some point. And what does that look like? And I think about, you know, everything my dad, you know, has done for us and everything he is to me. I think about everything my brother is to me. I think of everything my male friends and colleagues who I think the world of, and you and your dad and your stepdad, like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it makes me very emotional to think that, like, we're afraid of men, but there are some beautifully wonderful men, and some of the best things we have in this world are because of men, you know, inventing things, and equally women. Like, I'm not taking a... This is what's happening today. We can't say anything good about men without it taking away from women, and why does it have to be like that? Like, why can't I idolize some of the men that I've had in my life without suddenly not being an ally for women?
Yeah, like, you can want the nieces to be safe and also be worried that your nephew could grow up in a world where it just takes one person to falsely accuse him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can have both of those things, because that's just caring for both, and that's just being, you know, we've got big brains. We're capable of a lot of thought and logic and reason.
Not us as individuals, yeah, but as a people. Species.
Yeah. So, you know, you can actually have both. You can say, look, because the end of that, like, the men doing that and the people doing that, because let's be clear, maybe it's more men, but women do it too. So the people doing that are breaking the law. Like, they can already be punished for that. And I'm not saying that the judicial system is perfect and whatever, like, I get that. But in fact, we had a woman, I remember years ago, it's fucking terrible. We were at work, and we heard all these sirens. This was the middle of the day. Broad daylight, middle of the day, working day. There's all these sirens. We're like, oh, what's that? In a public car park, this woman had her throat slit.
Oh, I remember.
You remember this? She was young, like 20s. And it was her ex-boyfriend. And what had happened was, it was an abusive relationship.
Were you parked in there?
We normally park there, but we were temporarily in another office, right. So no. But yeah, it was...
But it's where you normally parked, under...
I parked in the building next to it.
Okay.
But yeah, it was that same car park. So like, I mean, it was a shopping centre car park. It was a public car park. And, you know, it's a few years back. I don't know the specifics of the details. I'm pretty sure it was an abusive relationship, and she left, and he threatened her, and he said, you know, I can't live without you, you know, that old thing. And I think she went to the police, and I'm not sure if there was a restraining order or not, I'm not sure, but he wasn't arrested and stuff, or he certainly wasn't locked up, and he made good on his promise, and he found her in the car park, and he slit her throat there, and she died, and that's what all the sirens were that we heard. But the point I'm making is, like, he broke the law in fact, I think he stayed there, I don't think he even tried to get away, like, he wasn't well, obviously, yeah. There was mental health issues. But the point I'm making here is, when you go out raping and murdering and being people, like, you're objectively breaking the law, and you can and should get arrested. You can't then say, well, that guy with black hair did this, so now I'm really scared of anyone with black hair. And that's kind of my fear, is, like, we can't go towards a society where there's this distrust of men as a collective, because who's that good for? Like, forget the actual men in that situation, which include, you know, me and your dad and your brother and the people that you actually know. Forget those individuals. It's not very good for women or anyone else to be living in this kind of bubble of fear of, like, oh my God, there's a man.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not good. And then, like I said before, how is it helpful for boys that they can't have their own spaces, and men can't have their own spaces, but women can. And there's this inequality brewing there, and then the potential to just be cancelled because you say one thing, or not, you don't even have to say anything, you just get accused. And, you know, I have every sympathy when it's genuine, like everything Harvey Weinstein was accused of, it's like, yeah, well, fuck that guy. But then you have the people, like, you know, I'm much more on Johnny Depp's side than Amber Heard's side, and you think, well, he's been a victim here, and he's gone through hell if he didn't really go through that. And just think, put yourself in his shoes, if he didn't do everything she's accused him of, like, he almost lost all his work, and I think he has been affected.
He's lost a lot of work.
But they tried to get him cancelled from Fantastic Beasts.
He was.
But J.K. Rowling stopped it, didn't she?
No.
She defended
him. He was fired.
Okay, fine. So there
it was, I think, was it Dior or Givenchy? He does, or Givenchy, I don't know how you say it, like, one of the colognes.
Yeah.
They wouldn't fire him. Like,
so, you know, that, like, so that's the problem, and it's, like you said, you can be worried about the nieces and the nephews, you haven't got to be taking sides. So look at it on an individual level. Who are the men in your life, and talk to them. Like, are they feeling like they don't get enough compliments? If they're getting one compliment a year, if they're not getting any hugs, and you can change the world on the individual level.
Yeah, and I think, no, we're not going to change the world, but you can change the world for those around you, and this isn't to say that, you know, to people that women, you're not doing enough. Maybe, you know, you are. Maybe, I don't know. All we're saying is we don't know the answer to this, but it's concerning. It's scary. It's sad. It's the things that are happening are devastating. But, you know, short of locking all the men up and just harvesting them for semen to keep, you know, like, they need to be nourished. And I think nourished.
Well, I'm nourished.
Need any food? That's the best place to say. Wait at my hands, all right. I don't know. I just think that it's not going to hurt, is it? It may not change everything, but if in fact these things are happening, that, you know, a lot of these violent crimes, they are committed by men. Like, I don't know percentage, but the vast majority of the time, you know, is part of the problem that we're not nurturing men. We're not talking about their needs. We're not talking about their mental health. They're not being encouraged to go to the doctor. They're committing, you know, that may not be the problem. I don't know. We're not scientists.
But you're saying, let's find the problem.
Yeah, I guess. And like, this could absolutely be part of the problem. And even if it's not, but it makes your husband or your son or your boyfriend happier to compliment him. And, you know, I think probably sons, you know, children, I think little kids get, oh, aren't you clever? Aren't you smart? Aren't you strong? Aren't you fast? You know, all this stuff. But as people grow, we're not doing all those things in front of people anymore. Like, my boss doesn't pat me on the back for everything that I do. Sometimes, hey, you did a great job on that. And
well, he's pretty scared of being accused of sexual harassment now.
Well, we can't even pat me on the back physically. We're working remote.
But it's true, though.
Like, we don't constantly get that validation as adults, and we don't need it constantly. But I think regularly it is important.
Yeah, and the other thing I was thinking of is, you talk about, you give compliments and like, it facilitates more of that behaviour. Like, if you get
positive reinforcement.
Yeah, because if you get none, if you think, oh, like, my wife doesn't, and we're just saying wives, we're talking about men, same is true the other way around. You say, oh, my wife doesn't see me, like, she doesn't care, like, I feel invisible, like, nothing I do is recognised, then you're going to feel, what's the point? If you start getting like, oh, yeah, thanks for doing that, I recognise you did that, well done on this.
You cleaned the coffee pot the other day, and it was like you had donated an organ to someone. I was like, you cleaned the coffee pot!
Yeah.
The coffee pot's a big part of our lives, and it was like, oh my god, thank you, because I've been meaning
it's
to do it.
It's not brown anymore.
I know. I've been meaning to do it for ages. And I was just like, oh my god, not just the pot, like the whole machine was cleaned.
So, but, you know,
we cleaned the pot.
But then when you start doing that, then they're like, oh, well, I like that. I'll do some more, you know. Just that, like you said, positive reinforcement. So, in the same, this is all the same as we've said in previous episodes about, you know, if you're not getting on, if you're arguing and stuff, and at some point one of you has to break that deadlock and say, you know, well, we said, I mean, like, around sex and how women may not want to give sex if they're not feeling intimately connected, but men feel intimately connected through sex. Like, one of you has to say, okay, well, I'll go first, right? So it's the same thing here. It's, you may be feeling unseen or unappreciated or what's the point? And so you're not getting the compliments and the praise because you're not doing anything. So if one of you just says, find the smallest thing, like, thanks for making coffee today, right?
Yeah.
Just start that ball rolling. Or if you're the other way around, just start doing things anyway, you may not get praise immediately, but it will come. Like,
yeah.
You know, so start that ball rolling.
Not even just outward. I mean, praise is important, but it's also encouragement in small gestures. Like, you know, we've both been really trying to take better cares of ourselves physically.
Care of ourselves.
You know, with trying to eat better and exercise and get more fit and stuff like that. And I mentioned that I've started running because I started doing it years ago, which got you started. Then you've been really into it. Now I want to get back into it. And I literally have run, like, very small amounts, but it's a huge deal to me. You know, like, I've never been good at running. And it's really important to me now to do that. And we had a day out yesterday because everything opened again and it was wonderful.
Not everything.
Well, okay, we can go to
maybe
like
less strict lockdown.
Shopping centers are open, like non-essential retail, hairdressers, and like we went to the zoo and then we went to an outlet mall and I wanted to get some new tennis shoes. And I like to think that the way I maneuvered this was actually in praise of you. Because you've been working really, really hard. You know, Rich started his own business not quite this time last year, a little bit later than that, and has been doing remarkably well. And so it was kind of, let's go spend your hard-earned money on me. Working hard. Do you want to treat me now? And he was like, yeah, okay. I was like, I want some new tennis shoes. Let's go get me some new tennis shoes today. Okay. And while we were there, you found a pair. Like, everything was a great sale. And there was a top.
It was a ludicrous sale, yeah.
Yeah, we got two pairs of Puma tennis shoes for like, well, they were both about, what, 20 quid? A little bit more than that.
Yeah, mine were $19.50.
I think mine were like 21, 22.
Madness. Like, I don't even give a shit if they fall apart in a month.
Yeah, well, they're a good name, so they shouldn't do. And I mentioned running. There was a really nice, like, sweat-wicking running top, really pretty color. Like, I thought, oh, I would like something like that. And you were like, yeah, get that too. Like, there was no, are you actually going to use that? It was like, do you need it? And I was like, yeah, I do, actually. I don't have anything like lightweight, long sleeve. Okay. So it's like, in this example, I was acknowledging, you've been working really hard, and you've had a great couple months. Buy me something. Which is, there's a few things happening there. But also, you've been really good with your running and you want to top and like, yeah, like, let's get that for you. So you have this thing to help you continue doing the thing that's important to you. So it's not just like, oh, I'm really proud of you that you got up early and went for a run, which we both say to each other because we know it's important to each other and we want to encourage one another.
You also know how fucking hard it is.
Yeah. Also, it's, so yes, thank you, or not thank you, but well done for doing that. Good job, you. And then this thing, by me either doing this thing for you or me buying this thing for you, will help you to do that. I'm gonna do that. So like today you ran 10 miles and you know you were kind of like dying / stretching after your run, and I said something, oh, I'm really proud of you, I'm really glad you were able to do it, because it's a run you haven't been able to do yet. You've been struggling with sort of some aches and stuff, so you were a bit nervous about how well you were going to do with it. And told, and it ties in beautifully to this whole topic. Mm. I said, I'm really proud of you.
And then you moved on.
What?
Then you moved on.
No, I was making breakfast, which is
next. No, comment, you said I'm really proud of you, and then you started saying something else.
No, you were talking about, like, the route you did and how you were doing, and you stretched, and then a few minutes later, you're like, okay, so tell me more about how you're proud of me. And so I did all that. And then also you had a gigantic breakfast waiting for you.
I did.
With all the calories, because you burnt all them the all calories, on your run. So I'm just saying, I think, I'm going to sound like my mother here, I think a better society starts with better families.
Oh, absolutely.
And couples set the example for families, because who do your kids look at? They look at their parents. And if the father is respectful and not just fathers, uncles, you know, family figures and male role models, family friends, teachers, you know, it's, we are a family unit. You know, like, my work is family, your classrooms are their own type of family and tribe. And by being a respectful father who shows his wife love and praise and compliments and supports her and works to support, you know, and supports her interests and the things that are important to her, and vice versa, a woman who, you know, a couple who thanks each other, a woman who acknowledges the work her husband does, who supports his needs and wants and goals and interests, that is what children need to see so that then they do the same and we have better men and we have better women and we have better husbands and we have better wives and we have better friends and allies. We just all need to be better, and this is one of the few things we can all start doing to be better. There's so many other things I need to do to better contribute to society, and there's so many things...
There's not much more I could do.
Shut up. There's tons you could do. But it's somewhere to start, and it's certainly not going to make things worse. So I think, you know, women need to be championed, absolutely, but let's... Back to what I said earlier, like, what about men? What are we doing wrong here? How can we make a small ripple that's going to...
become a big ripple.
Yeah.
That was a nice little monologue. I think we can end it on that. That was,
I am Obama. Anyways, have a great week, everyone. And thanks for listening to this rant.